Guys, for too long, we're continuing our Radical Rebels series. This is part three. We did the Everything the Devil Stole From Me, Everything the Devil Stole, which was part one, and then last week we did the Sophisticated Sophistries, and we began to talk about just the deceptive, some of the deceptive tactics that the enemy employs, these strategic ways that he attacks us, and which is very cunning, but as soldiers on the battlefield, we have to be aware of the tactics of the enemy and what he's doing and how he's doing it, if we're to stand and fight against it. It's important. And so today we're going to talk about how we have been programmed and conditioned to, kind of accept, some of these tactics, and it's kind of lulled us into a false sense of, security. But the war is still raging, and it's very much active. And we have to be active, we got to get radical in our tactics, because the enemy is, he's not so radical, but he's consistent. And so today, again, just for subject's sake, today's title would be Programmed and Conditioned. And we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This morning, for our text, this morning's text, so Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're gonna begin just at verse 9. And as always, I kind of encourage you guys to read a little bit deeper than just our focus text. And so I'm going to use the New Living Translation this morning, just because it kind of, lays it out a little bit plainer. And so beginning at verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth." So Paul's writing here, and he's talking about the end event, the last days, right? These some of the things that's going to happen during the last days, and he's talking about this man, that will come to, deceive people. And, it's kind of a whole nother subject, getting off into who this man is and stuff. So I won't get too deep into that or whatever. But right now he's being restrained. He will be revealed. And the word goes on to say that he'll even, try and usurp God and, call himself God and try and sit in the temple and, all these other things that's, going to happen. But what I want us to kind of understand and focus on is kind of a continuation from last week's sermon, where we were talking about, the strategies that the enemy uses, these tactics and things that he uses to, deceive us, to trick us, right? And so part of that is programming and conditioning us, to kind of accept things as like, oh, that's just kind of the way the world is. And, you know, we stay in our own little bubbles and, you know, like, all right, that doesn't involve me, right? So I don't really have to be concerned with what's going on because, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I'm going to church and I'm worshiping and, you know, I'm going to Bible study and, you know, this and that. And so, like, I'm okay, right? But, like, that's not so much the truth, right? Because, like, it's stuff going on around us that, you know, that's happening within our community that's affecting us. It's affecting, you know what I'm saying, our policies, our laws, you know what I'm saying? It's affecting, you know, the people that govern us, you know, and how they enact, you know, in their positions and so forth, right? So it's deeper than that because these things, you know, trickle down and they affect us, right? So, like, we, you know, passively, like, okay, we're going to vote so-and-so in the office. It's election season, so I'm picking on voting right now, just kind of as you know, just to, you know, focus the conversation, but not, it's not just about, you know, election and voting. But anyway, so we, you know what I'm saying, we'll begin to just, like, say, okay, we'll accept certain things and we'll vote certain people in, and then they're making decisions that affect our lives and we're just kind of accepting it, right? So the I want to give just a couple of definitions that'll help kind of, you know, get us moving today. So to be programmed, when we look it up, it means to provide with coded instructions for the automatic performance of a task. To provide with coded instructions for the automatic performance of a task. Conditioned means to bring into a desired state for use. So when we're being programmed and conditioned, it's pretty much saying that, you know, we're being, society's providing us with coded instructions that we're often not aware of, you know, for us to automatically do certain things, you know, which in turn brings us into a desired state that the enemy would prefer us to be in. And so some examples of this, and which is really prevalent today, is like our social media, the stuff that we're, you know, saying being affected with, like, we don't really think about, you know, we go on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and it's like, oh, you know, I'm just looking at my, you know, my family pictures or, you know what I'm saying, so-and-so then, you know, put up a scripture and it's like, oh, okay. But even in doing that, you know, like, we're being exposed to advertisements and marketing strategies. They're collecting our information and literally targeting us, you know, out for certain types of, you know, what do they call it, like, influences and stuff, right? So we have people that are literally being paid to influence us to, you know, do certain things. How many of you guys ever heard of something called the spherical marketing industry? The spherical marketing industry, Forbes says that they're worth $1.7 trillion. And what this is the world, you know what I'm saying, literally figuring out every little aspect about us and how to, you know what I'm saying, influence us and get us to do certain things that they want us to do. And we, you know, don't really pay attention to this stuff. You know, we watch TV, you know what I'm saying, or we watch a movie, or, you know what I'm saying, we listen to the radio, or, you know, we listen to certain songs, and we're being influenced and we're being targeted in every single aspect that we kind of look at is like, okay, just a little bit of downtime. But it's all intentional. It's all being, you know, directed at us, you know, for a particular reason. And so, like, recently, Mr. Kanye West made the news again for saying some controversial things, which I won't repeat. But in that, a music executive, you know, was asked by the Breakfast Club dude, like, why do you, you know, saying, sell music that that talks about, you know, drugs and violence and stuff like that? And this guy literally says, well, because I need to put food on my table. Like, you know, so in other words, I really don't care about the damage that this does by, you know, promoting, you know, this toxic information. As long as it continues to make me millions and millions of dollars, I'll keep on doing it. Like I said, the marketing industry literally pays regular individuals to be influencers. You know, if you're on social media any amount of time, you'll see little ads to be an influencer, you know. And what they're doing is they're paying people to, you know, promote an idea of what life is, right? It's not a reality, but just the idea. You know, they're using Photoshop and everything else to make the pictures look a certain way. And, you know, and so we look at these pictures and stuff and we're thinking like, oh, you know, that looks like a nice life. But a lot of these people, you know, like that's not their reality. You know, they're being paid to push this content, you know what I'm saying, to influence us to think that like, hey, that's what life is. That's what it, you know, it looks like. And that's what I want. And so then, you know, especially our young people, you know, their minds aren't as developed. And so they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to chase after that. I'm going to try and do that. And, you know, it's toxic. You know, this is all the enemy trying to, you know, push us to dress certain ways. You know what I'm saying? Behave certain ways. Think certain ways. And all of these things are in opposition to what God would have us to do, what God would have us to be. You know, so they're trying to influence our lives. I mean, it's right there in the word, like influence. Like what? Like, why are you trying to influence me in any particular way other than what it is God would have me to do? Why would you want me, you know, to influence me to, you know, take pictures in bikinis and put it on the internet where the whole world could look at me? Why do you want to, you know, get me to, you know, take pictures shirtless and flexing my muscles where the whole world can look at my body? You know, when the Bible tells us that, you know, we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, you know, unto God, that, you know, it should be our sacrifice should be reasonable. And I'm trying to get there. Romans chapter 12, you know, but you know, this is all in contrary to what God would have us to do, you know. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." But the world says like, oh, yeah, you know, sag your pants, you know, wear, you know, these halter tops or bra tops, like, you know, the stuff that's going on nowadays. This is not what it is God, you know, has ordained for us. And so, you know, a lot of young people now, they are like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to go to church because, you know, they're telling me to do the opposite of what the influencers are telling me. You know, I'm being told that, you know, this isn't cool and this is what I want to do, you know. And so we see this pulling away, you know what I'm saying, from the body of Christ, because they're being programmed and conditioned to think that what they're doing is good. You know, and the Bible tells us that these days will come where people will call good bad and bad good. You know, things will get twisted up and reversed. You know, and I'll be the first to admit that the church, you know, certainly ain't what it used to be, but it's most certainly not what most people think it is today.
Amen.
You know, like we got people that think like, oh, well, you know, the church is all about, you know, trying to control you and, you know, get you to do certain things and not be who you are and, you know, turn you into like this kind of, you know, robot or, you know, what do they call them? Bible thumper or something. Like, that's not what church is. That's not what God's about. He's not trying to change you. He's not trying to, you know, control you with religion or anything else. What God's trying to do is take all of the bad stuff out of our lives that hurt us and that, you know, causes us pain and, you know, saying sorrow and misery and say, hey, give that up, give that over to me. And, you know, saying let that go. And, you know, you just keep being doing the good stuff, you know. But we get into this thing where it's like, you know, the young people think they're like, oh, you know, you're trying to manipulate me and change me. And that's not the case. You know, when I was young, I'll admit I had a kind of some of the same objections, you know. And mostly, you know, we would call, you know, the church hypocrites. We say, oh, they're hypocrites. You know, they say one thing and they do another thing, you know, like that's, you know, like it's phony. But I come to realize that what it is that, you know, people are people and we struggle. We go through things and God understands that. Like God understands that, you know, we're not perfect. You know, we're going to make mistakes. But we have a God that loves us enough to forgive us for those mistakes and give us opportunities, you know, to grow from the mistakes that we make.
Amen.
So it's not hypocrisy that's going on, you know. It's just simply that people are trying to be better. And in that, you make mistakes. Like with anything else, you know, you're trying to start a new business, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to, you know, do some things the wrong way. You know, every now and then, are you going to learn, like, okay, well, that doesn't really work. You know, I'm going to do things differently. You know what I'm saying? You're raising children. I happen to have a few of them. You make mistakes, but you learn from it, and you say, okay, I'm going to do better, you know. And so I learned from that, you know, God really loves me. He cares about me, and he wants what's best to me. The Bible says that I can bring all of my cares to him, you know. That he'll carry my burdens. We live in a world that is opposed to everything, you know, that God is about. You know, we live in a world that, you know, tries to twist and turn and take, you know what I'm saying, away from us everything that God is about. The devil himself, you know, when Jesus went in his time as solitude in the desert, did the same thing. He tried to manipulate our Lord and Savior the same way and twist and turn and take away everything that, you know, God is about. But of course, you know, Jesus is a little bit more smarter than the devil, and that didn't work out. But the world is still doing the same thing. You know, we live in a country of capitalists, right? We live in this capitalist society. And most people don't take time to think about it, but capitalism is, you know, is averse to Christianity. The two really don't mix. It's like oil and water. You know, if you think about it, capitalism, you know, goes against everything that God taught us about, you know, saying finances in the world. You know, it tells us, capitalism say, well, you know, somebody come borrow money from you, you know, charge them as much interest as the law allow you. You know, if you can get 200% interest, charge them, you know. But our Bible says that, you know, if your brother comes and borrow money from you, you know, don't charge interest from them, you know. And so things like that, you know, they try and, you know, manipulate us into doing things that, you know, aren't what God would say. Like, yeah, you know, charging interest, I loan you some money, and it's like, okay, I'm only going to charge you, you know, 5-10%. It don't seem like a lot, and it don't seem like a big deal. You know, it's like paying, you know, like, all right, I'm going to charge for, you know, lending my money and me not being able to use it because you got it. And it, on the surface, it seems like it's okay, but it's really not. That's a false sophistry. It's deceptive. You know, it's against what God has told us. You know, capitalism, the way it works really is all about exploitation, exploiting others, you know what I'm saying, so that you can gain, like using people, you know what I'm saying, and their misfortunes or their weaknesses or their lack of understanding, you know, to gain off of what, you know what I'm saying, to make a profit off of that person. So it's exploitation. And the media is great at exploitation. You know, They're constantly exploiting, you know what I'm saying, us in different ways, you know, to make a profit. And that's not what God would have for us to exploit one another, for us to, you know, use one another, you know, to get a leg up. You know, we could do a lot better together than we can apart. Amen. I want to show you guys something in the Bible, and I'm wrapping up here because, again, I really want to go and support our sister today. But if we look at the book of Hosea real quick, it's our Old Testament, you know. So, and we're going to go to chapter 4. Now, before I read this, I want you guys to think about the world today. Think about the state of the economy. Think about, you know, how the, what is it called? Global warming issues we have going on. Think about how, you know, the news is, you know, well, not just the news, but how our sea is dying. It's full of plastic. Think about how animals are going extinct. And, you know, the debauchery and immorality that it's so commonplace, you know, these days. Right after Daniel, you should run into Hosea. You know, but just think about all of those things. Just really think about how the world is. You know, and all that we see going on. And if we look at Hosea chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading here at verse 1. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you, saying, there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land." I'm going to stop right there for a second. No faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You know, the way that we treat one another is not very kind these days. A lot of people are running around and they don't have faith in God. You know what I'm saying? They're worried about this situation and the next situation. And it's like, okay, where's your trust at in God? When are you going to lean out, you know, and really step out over on your faith? You know, and this wasn't written yesterday. Go on. Verse 2, it says, "You make vows and you break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is mourning and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are what? Disappearing."
Amen.
Think about the state of the world right now. This is all happening right now. This is what we're living through. The debauchery and immorality is so rampant. People, you know, and I've read other, you know, prophecies of these last days. Paul talked about it. Jesus talked about it. Peter talked about it. Like, it's all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, telling you that, like, this is what the last days are going to look like. And I promise you guys, after I do this series, we're going to talk about the last days, because it's not just one last day. It's several different last days, but we'll get into that later. But anyway, this is happening right now. These animals are dying off. Our seas is dying off. These fishes are disappearing. These birds are going extinct. These animals are going extinct. You know, the land is literally dying. We're seeing wildfire after wildfire after wildfire, hurricanes, tornadoes. Stuff is happening in seasons when they shouldn't be happening. You know, the land is literally mourning. If we continue to go on, it says, "Don't point your finger at someone else and try and pass the blame." Watch this now. It says, My complaint, you priests, is with you." Who's the priest? He's talking about all us pastors, all us ministers, you know. He said, my complaint is with you. His complaint is with me. Why? Why? He says, so you will stumble in broad daylight and your false prophets will fall with you at night, and I will destroy Israel, your mother. My people, this is why he's upset with the priest. He says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. In other words, in another version, it will say because of a lack of knowledge. My people are being destroyed. Because most pastors are getting up here and most preachers are getting up here and they're preaching happy. Like, oh, everything's fine. And, you know, just keep trusting in God and, you know, pray about it. And this, and they, you know, these happy sermons and everybody like, oh, yeah, and that was a good one. But you're not teaching. You're not, you know, saying expounding on the word, and you're not really telling people the truth about what God has to say completely. You know, and it's not the exciting sermon. You know what I'm saying? It's like got you all riled up and thinking like, yeah, you know, whoo, that was a good one. And, you know, I'm woe out from all the clapping and pre, you know, like it's more entertainment nowadays than it is teaching.
Amen.
And because of that, God's upset. And he's like, you know, with us priests, he's like, my people are being destroyed. Like God loves his people. He loves us. He don't want to see his people. He said, God says in his word, he don't want to see us go to hell. You know, that's not what his desire is, you know. And of course, there's going to be that present that goes, but that's not what he wants, you know. He says, I will. He goes on and said, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me because of a lack of knowledge. He says, since you priests refuse to know me. And again, I, you know, the priest ain't, you know, like, hey, you're lacking the knowledge too. He says, I refuse to recognize you as my priest. Remember, Jesus himself said there's going to be a lot of them that come and say, you know, I prophesied in your name. You know, I cast out demons in your name. And Jesus is going to be like, I don't know you. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Who's prophesizing in the name of Jesus? It's not the layman. It's not, you know what I'm saying, the congregation. It's the priest that's doing it. So who do you think Jesus is saying? Like, hey, you know, you workers of iniquity, get away from me. I mean, like, if we really read and we do our studying and stuff, we see how all this stuff lines up, you know. And we go on, and he says, I refuse to recognize you as my priest since you have forgotten the laws of your God. So even the priest, I mean, and I'm not going to go into it. Y'all can, you know, go and do the research yourself. But it's a lot of debauchery and immorality that's going on right in the church house. You know, a lot of, you know, and y'all know one of my biggest pet peeves is the pulpit pimping. You know, you sitting here rolling around and, you know, Rolls Royces and stuff, and your congregation is, you know, standing in, you know, the food line and trying to get assistance to pay the light bills. And, you know, but you trying to get the next, you know, $20 million jet, and you got a, you know, 20-acre mansion compound. And like, come on now. Like, how does that add up? You know? I think about the apostles and the prophets, you know, of the Old Testament too, and like how they really lived. And it wasn't like these lives of luxury where they were, you know, like just, you know, living off of the congregation and in royalty. You know? I mean, think about some of the things that Paul told the people that he pastored over. He told him, he's like, you know, I don't take nothing from you. Like, I work for what I'm doing, you know, just so that I can say that, like, I ain't never took nothing from you. But we got, you know, literally, and this still blows my mind. A few years ago, you know, a pastor out here, not in Kitsap, but in Washington State, I ain't gonna say no names or whatever, literally was suing his church because they wouldn't give him a raise. Like, how does that sound? You know, how do you get to there? Hosea goes on to say, I will forget, and he's again talking for God. He says, I will forget to bless your children. You know, like we're in some bad situations, but that's all of this stuff happens because we're programmed and conditioned to think like, oh, we gotta have to have this, you know, saying dream life, this American dream. We need to have the picket fence and, you know, the bank account needs to be, you know, as big as possible. And, you know, I got to have the latest and greatest. And, you know, oh, you know, I bought the, you know, 12 and 3 months later, the 13 came out. So I got to have that. And, you know, it's all this me and, you know, grabbing and everything else. And so the church, you know, is in decline. Because people aren't stupid and they're seeing this like, okay, that's not living up to, you know, what you're preaching, you know, and that's not living up to, you know, and okay, a lot of them, you know, really don't understand the word, but they can read enough to say that, well, you know what, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. And so folk are running away from it and they running towards these motivational speakers that, you know, make them feel good about themselves, but you know what I'm saying? And make them like, oh, you know, as long as you're doing good, it's enough. You know, and you know how many people I talk to that, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go to heaven or they're going to go to heaven because they're a good person. Like being good is enough. It's not. It's not what God says. It's not what the word says. You know, the church, and I'm going to, you know, speak kind of as far as our community, because that's what I'm most familiar with. But, you know, I think it's true across the board that is has always been a source of organized efforts in the community. You know, nowadays, you know, most people, they're like, OK, if I need some type of help, I'll run to the government, you know, and like I can still do whatever I want to. But it used to be that the church took care of the community. The church, you know, was there to provide, you know, that assistance and everything. But the thing is, like, there, you know, it was some strings attached, like accountability, you know. But we lived in much nicer times. You know, people were kinder to each other. You know what I'm saying? Because it was accountability. You lived in the same neighborhood with the people, you know what I'm saying, that you were going to assistance for. And it was like, okay, we don't live like that. You know, nowadays, you know, you got young people literally putting their hands on older people, you know, on their elders, you know, let alone cussing them out and everything else. There's no accountability, you know. Like, I can do whatever I want. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Who's going to stop me? You know, it's a free country. So there's no accountability. But people used to go to the church for these things. And then there'd be accountability. You know, the church was the place where politicians were groomed. You know what I'm saying? There's few out there. Warnock out of Atlanta, the new Atlanta senator. But there's not many, you know. But this is where we groomed our politicians. You know, that's where we get the whole good trouble. You know what I'm saying? We had people coming out of the church like, you know, and think of them what you will, but Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Ralph Abernathy, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King Jr., all these people out of the church, these, you know what I'm saying, that were making changes, you know what I'm saying, because not because like, oh, you know, God, you know, they're sitting here trying to convert everybody into Christianity, but God's like, hey, there's a certain way we ought to treat one another. So we need to do some things different, you know. And so they came out of the church, you know, like, hey, let's be good towards one another. Let's love one another, you know, because at the end, that's all that's going to last, right? You know, now these three abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, you know. We had organizations that, you know, developed, or people, you know what I'm saying, that started these organizations came up out of the church, like, you know what I'm saying, SNCC, Rainbow Push, NAACP, you know what I'm saying? These all are things that come up out of the church because, you know, they were had values that were grounded in the word, you know what I'm saying? It's like we want to do good for the community and for the world. You know, literally cities developed by people that come up out of the church, Chicago being one of them. Frederick Douglass founded Chicago. And the thing is, it's not that, you know, we can't get back to these things. We can. But we have to lose our program. We have to lose our conditioning, thinking that, you know what I'm saying, these so-called American values are so important, thinking that, you know, I have to, you know, live in a mansion to be happy. That's not happiness. You know, oh, I have to have, you know, a lot of money to be happy. That's not happiness. You know, we can do things with our local churches. You know, we can come in here and develop neighborhood institutions, you know what I'm saying, where our children have somewhere to come and do positive things. You know, we can start schools out of the church. It's been done before. A lot of the HBCUs that our children go to right now, you know, were started in the church. You know, this is where people learn self-discipline in the church, you know. But because we've been programmed and conditioned to, you know, hey, you know, you only live once, do what you want to do, you know, live how you want to live, you know, that's the model now. That's how, you know, people see it, like, oh, you know, I can do whatever I want to. As long as I'm not hurting anybody else, I'm free to be me, you know. Like, whatever my mind, you know, tells me is okay, then I can do that. But my Bible tells me that God said he had turned people over to a debased mind because they refused to, you know, obey him. And after a while, he's going to be like, all right, you want this debased mind, I'll give it to you. We can develop right here in the church economic opportunities where, you know, one, we teach people, you know what I'm saying, financial stability and how to, you know, properly use their money, you know what I'm saying, in a way that's, you know, not only going to benefit them, but benefit, you know, your community.
Amen.
You know, like we're quick to go out and support, you know what I'm saying, and buy, you know, well, I guess they buying digital music now, but, you know, go and buy the CD with the parental warning advisory on it and support that, you know, foolishness or whatever else. But you hard pressed to get them to put a dollar in the tithing plate, you know. And it's like, what are you really supporting? What are you really pushing behind? You know, I'm last one, and I'm gonna let you guys go. If we look at Revelations chapter 2, and this is God. He spoke to the church at Ephesus here, and I'm gonna let you guys go here. Revelations chapter 2. I'm going to just read a couple of these. And again, I ain't going to hold you guys too long. Starting at verse 2, it says, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Verse 5, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Listen, it's very simple. Three things we need to do. One, remember our first love. Remember what it is God has asked of us. And he doesn't demand, he doesn't, you know what I'm saying, force it on us. He simply asks us to be obedient. Now, the Bible says if you love him, you'll be obedient. You know, we say we love him, but we don't show it. So we have to remember who we once were. The church has to remember what it once was. Two, We have to repent from the stuff we didn't got ourselves into. And repenting is simply just turning away from, you know, that bad stuff and going back the way you supposed to be going. Turn away from it. Repent. Remember, repent and return. Return back to God.
Amen.
Return back to doing the things that we once done so well. Community. That's what Jesus was all about. Those around him. He went to community, to community, to community, you know, and he spread love, and he spread patience, and he spread, you know, accountability, you know. And it's like, listen, he spread faith. Like, y'all take care of one another. Y'all love one another. You know, it's two greatest commandments. Love God and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Community. Togetherness. Building up one another. Not this debauchery that we find ourselves in today. You know, not this immorality that has gotten so rampant where, you know, we don't, you know, we just like, all right, hold our head down and I ain't gonna say nothing. You know, and we see it happening in front of us. We see our children, we see our nieces and nephews, we see, you know, our grandchildren, you know, we see our neighbor children, you know what I'm saying? We see all of this is being poured onto them and, you know, they're being bombarded by all this wickedness and evil, and we don't try and guide and lead them out of it. You know what I'm saying? We don't try and, you know, tell them anything different. And, you know, we just kind of accept it. But we can't do that any longer. This is a battle we're in, you know, and we got to fight it. We're soldiers, you know, and I'm not telling you guys to go and get inside everybody's, you know, business and, you know, start ruining relationships and stuff. But what I'm saying is take a stand and say, like, yeah, I ain't for that. I'm not here for that. I'm not going to tolerate it or accept it. You know, I got young family members, you know, that sag their pants and that's what they do. Okay. But when you come in my house and you cross that threshold, pull your pants up. You know, pull your pants up. Young ladies, cover yourself up. You know, be modest. That's what the word says. So I pray you guys were blessed by today's message and encouraged. And Father God, Lord, we just pray that as we go forward, Lord, that we would renew our minds, Father God, that you would help us renew our minds, Lord, that we would be unprogrammed and unconditioned, you know, from the vices of this world and the wickedness and the iniquity and the debauchery and the immorality that is so rampant, Father God. Lord, that we would begin to thirst for a knowledge of you, Father God, and seek after you, Father God. Seek after a greater understanding of you, Father God, Lord, so that we might not be destroyed, Father God. Lord, in your word, you said if we would just simply humble ourselves, Father God, and turn and pray to you, Father God, Lord, that you would heal the land, Lord. So I'm asking now, Father God, Lord, that it would start within us, Lord, that we would be radical in doing what it is you have called us to do, Father God, that we would be radical in our humbleness, that we would be radical in our submission to you, Father God, that we would be radical in the way that we love on one another, Lord. Father God, Lord, I pray that as we go forth, Lord, that we would continue to just meditate upon your word and your will, and that it would become our will and our desire. Father, in the name of Jesus, do we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys. Again, Oh, I always forget. If those of you online that if you were blessed by today's message, please consider supporting the ministry. You can go on our website, nhmbaptist.org, and go to the giving tab and give. Of course, we always solicit your prayers. in-house. There's a bucket by the sink. You guys can put your tithes in that. And again, just thank you for coming and joining us today, in person and online. We thank you in Jesus' name. Be encouraged in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna get over to the funeral. I hope I didn't miss it all. I told him I was gonna be there.